Hello, this is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL. Catholic Baltimore is a weekly radio program hosted by the Archdiocese of Baltimore, airing each Sunday following the broadcast of the Radio Mass of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic radio partners for sharing with us some of the contents in this program and for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to the Archdiocese of Baltimore every Sunday.
This week we're talking with Edward Herrera, Director of the Office of Marriage and Family Life for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Welcome, Edward. Good to have you here today.
Thanks for having me, Chris. Really excited to talk with you about marriage and family life.
Well, first of all, we got to talk about the Pope's new document, Amoris Laetitia, which is translated the Joy of Love. What are your overall impressions of that document, and what are the most important points that the Pope is trying to make in that document?
It's a very exciting document for us. The fact is, we get Pope Francis, who is really this master of the new evangelization, and he provides for us kind of this roadmap of marriage and family life, and some different ways of how we can implement it in the parishes, and how couples are able to come together better and to love one another more fully. So I think for me, the real takeaway of the document, and it sounds kind of banal, is really an understanding of love, really an understanding of how can spouses love one another better, and how can the church love individuals who are suffering and who are hurting more fully.
That's a great way to look at that, because the Pope spends a lot of time talking in this document about love, what love is. He talks a little bit about the part of St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, where he says, love is patient, love is kind. I know you thought that was a really neat part of the document.
It was chapter 4, and I encourage all married couples to go and read chapter 4 together, where he goes through that section of St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, and he goes through exactly what is love, and how can we more fully love our spouse. So it's a really important piece for both engaged couples and married couples to talk a little bit more fully about their relationships and how they can enter more fully into love. And I think it's a neat entry point, because so often that reading is used at weddings, and I think so often folks don't know fully what are we committing to. And he really calls us to a deeper love, and I thought that was exciting. It was neat, because at a certain point with that, the footnotes start to fall off, and you start to realize that this is just a pastor sharing with us what the heart of love is.
You talked about that's in chapter 4, and you want married couples and engaged couples to read that. This is a long document, 8 chapters, 250 pages. Do you suggest that all Catholics should read the whole thing? And if so, how do they do that in a way that is easier than just sitting down for several hours and reading through a Vatican document?
Yeah, absolutely, cover to cover, straight through, just the way you read the Bible. No, I think the best way to handle it is to really start with the beginning. There's a great summary of the document, both I think linked to on the Catholic Review site as well as the Archdiocese. So a summary of the document. Start there so you get a sense of the taste of the document, and then read the introductory comments that Pope Francis has, because they really invite us to read it, but to read it slowly, to read it patiently, and to read it in a real sense of openness, right, and fidelity to the Church. For married couples, I think especially that chapter 4 as well as chapter 5 are really important parts for them to read. This sense of what's the nature of love, and then chapter 5 is really about love being fruitful, which is an essential part of love, particularly love in marriage. For folks that work at the parishes, I think that chapter 6 is particularly helpful for marriage preparation and what formation programs program should look like at parishes. And then also for parents, I think a really special section is chapter 7, where he really talks about an education in freedom. And I think that those are kind of some good entry points for couples. But I mean, even what comes before that, chapters 1 through 3, you really have a good explanation of the church's teaching on marriage and family life, but then also the real challenges that are facing couples today.
One whole section you mentioned is on educating children, not just in freedom, but also in the faith. Why is that so important that we educate kids these days to know really what love is and to know what a loving God feels like?
Yeah, and I think that this is part of the insight that John Paul II gives to us when talking about marriage preparation. He talks about this immediate marriage preparation, which is something that we need to focus on. This 6 to 9 months before a couple gets married is very important. But we also need to be thinking about the proximate preparation, so even that time, those few years before that, as well as the distant marriage preparation. So really, as parents, as a church, we should be asking, what are we doing from the moment of baptism to prepare individuals for marriage, right? To prepare individuals to give themselves away in love, whether it's in marriage, holy orders, or consecrated life. In what ways are we cultivating that freedom within them, right? To be able to give themselves away. So really cultivating those virtues so that they're prepared for marriage.
So you're saying that people should not be just preparing for marriage when they meet somebody and decide, oh, this is somebody I'd like to spend my life with, but they really should be thinking about marriage and whatever vocation they're called to from a very early age.
Yeah, so the Second Vatican Council, this church council in the 1960s, in Gaudium et Spes 24, it says that it's only in a sincere gift of self that man or woman, right, truly find themselves. And so that the call of the Christian is truly to give themselves away. And so from baptism, parents should be thinking, how are we preparing our children for their vocation? Ultimately, how are we preparing our children for heaven? But how are we preparing them to get there in this life?
Mm-hmm. And that makes a big difference then when you talk about when you, as a director of marriage and family life, start helping parishes build programs that can meet people's needs wherever they are, whether they're children, whether they're young singles, whether they're married couples who need enrichment.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we really, and that's the beauty of this document, is it really looks at a fuller picture of marriage and family life, right? It's really looking at it more broadly than just saying this immediate preparation, but saying, you know, what are we doing throughout the couple's lives to be able to prepare them and to help nourish their marriages?
Mm-hmm. When you sit down with a family that's working through some problems, how do you help them get back on track with some of these kinds of things that you're talking about? Where if they've been away from the church or they haven't really been paying attention to how they're preparing themselves and their children to live a happy and holy life, how do you get them back on that track?
You know, I think there's a couple answers to that. Sometimes it does take a little more significant help, right? I mean, sometimes it does take the help of the psychological sciences to work with a couple, because there can be real deep wounds in relationships that that requires a little more sustained work. Others, sometimes it's just a matter of, it can be of reinvigorating that faith, right? Pope Francis in his document talks about the role of Scripture in couples' lives, that Scripture should be a source of nourishment for couples, and that's really something that we should help foster, is really nourishing the scriptural life. St. John Chrysostom in the early church talks about Scriptures having a special place in the home, kind of a very prominent place. And so encouraging couples to really to pray together and also to read Scriptures together to grow in that deeper relationship. But then there's also, as I said before, some of those communication things that need to be developed more, some conflict resolution skills that need to be developed. So sometimes it's just a deepening of one's faith, but then it also requires the benefits of the psychological sciences, which Pope Francis talks about, particularly in needing to help well-form seminarians for the priesthood to be able to work with couples.
That's a great point. And I think also the National Bishops Conference, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, has a website, foryourmarriage.org, that provides some really concrete ways for couples to kind of enrich their marriage and grow in faith and love together.
Yes, lots of great resources on that website. They've got everything from different video clips to blogs and inviting folks to really enter more deeply in their marriage and really kind of develop and foster their marital life.
Yeah, they've even got day-to-day tips on here's a nice thing to do for your spouse today. And that makes a big difference, I think, for people to just think about every day how to build this.
Absolutely. Sometimes it's just the practical that we need to focus on. You know, sometimes you get a little pie in the sky, but it's like, how are we living this day together? How are we loving each other better today?
Great. This is Christopher Gunty with Catholic Baltimore. We're talking with Edward Herrera from the Archdiocesan Office of Marriage and Family Life. We'll be back after the break.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. The May issue of the Catholic Review is here, and a solid issue it is. If you follow Catholic news at all, then you know that Pope Francis has released Amoris Laetitia, his apostolic exhortation in response to the Synod on the Family that wrapped up last fall. In the Catholic Review, you can see some of the local reaction to the exhortation, including from His Excellency William E. Laurie, Archbishop of Baltimore, Monsignor Andrew Baker, Rector of Mount St. Mary's Seminary in Emmitsburg, and more. Throughout the exhortation, which is titled The Joy of Love in English, the Pope returns again and again to the beauty of the family, and it is no coincidence that the May issue of the Catholic Review celebrates the family as well. Meet the Moutiers. In 2000, Annie, who had a comfortable accounting job in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, had to leave her native country with her husband Claude and their four children to start over in Baltimore. Faith and persistence have paid off, and today the Moutiers' four Congo-born children, all graduates of Cristo Rey Jesuit High School in Fells Point, are now attending college, and one more child, born in America, is at Mother Seton Academy. We also visit with 17-year-old Archer Senft and his family, parishioners of the Cathedral of Mary Our Queen in Homeland. Last summer, Archer became paralyzed from the middle of his chest down after diving into a sandbar. His spirit far from broken, Archer is determined to recover. And also meet Shannon Akins, who was 9 when her mother, Diane Geppy Akins, died of brain cancer. Geppy Akins put women's lacrosse at Loyola University, Maryland on the map as a player and a coach. Today, Shannon Akins, also a lacrosse player for the Greyhounds, is honoring her mother's legacy, wearing her number 20 jersey in her final year at Loyola. Find these family stories and more in the Catholic Review. And from the newsroom of the Catholic Review, this is Eric Zygmunt.
Do you want to know more about what's going on in the church and the world than you can get from your daily newspaper or local TV? Read the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the church full-time, the Catholic Review. Pick up the print magazine monthly at your parish or have the Catholic Review delivered to your home every month. You can get fresh news every day online at catholicreview.org. Subscribe to the Catholic Review e-newsletter for twice-a-week updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Find our app on Apple and Android, and follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Wherever your faith takes you, Catholic Review Media is ready to inspire, teach, inform, and engage. Read it today, in print and online, at catholicreview.org. That's catholicreview.org.
You are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL.
This is Catholic Baltimore, and we're back talking with Edward Herrera, Director of the Office of Marriage and Family Life for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Edward, you've been conducting some town hall meetings around the Archdiocese to talk about families. What are you hearing at those meetings?
Yeah, it's been a very positive experience. We've had 2 town hall meetings so far. We met out in Frederick with a group of folks at St. John's, and then St. John's in Severna Park. So it's been a very positive experience, a lot of kind of real working conversation about how we can better marriage and family life in the Archdiocese, whether it be preparation or then also especially helping couples nourish their marital bond.
So what are the joys that you're hearing about people talk about at these meetings about their marriages and their families?
Yeah, and so it's definitely been a little bit more of a working meeting. So we've kind of been talking about different programs that are going on at the parishes and things like that. But the reality is there's a very excited group of couples and individuals in the Archdiocese who really want to further marriage and family life. A woman was talking with me about the idea of starting just a group of folks that are praying for marriages in the Archdiocese, and to me that's a great idea. You know, sometimes the
seems simple,
simplest things sometimes are the last ones that you think of, right? Yeah. But just a group to really pray for all of our marriages in the Archdiocese. But yeah, just a lot of excitement about this document, and then also about kind of how do we move forward, how can we help support marriages in the Archdiocese.
Mm-hmm. Are you hearing things at these meetings where people are talking about either the pain or the difficulties in their own marriages or the marriages that they know about of friends and neighbors?
There's definitely been a little bit of that, but I think it's really been a positive message overall in the sense mm-hmm. of a desire of how do we move forward? How do we, as Pope Francis talks about in his document, how do we more fully integrate folks into the life of the church, mm-hmm. regardless of what situation they're in? How can we help them to more fully be a part of the church? And that's really been the main thrust of the conversation.
We've been talking about the Pope's recent document, Amoris Laetitia, which is the joy of love, that was released in early April. And one of the things I've heard from a lot of people I've talked to about this, some of the experts I've been talking to as I've been writing about this, has said that part of the difficulty facing families is the fast pace of life these days, that we're all kind of in our little bubble, we commute in a single-person car, we do a little bit of everything, and just life is so fast, and there's soccer practice, and there's this and that, and there's homework for the kids, and just we don't have time to slow down and appreciate the good things that we have in our marriage and our families. Is that something that you've experienced in your line of work?
Yeah, so I think that's definitely the case. You know, at the parish or at the diocese, it's a lot of kind of work trying to help programs and support parishes in particular. Previously, I was at a parish in the Archdiocese of Galveston, Houston, and worked a lot with particularly young married couples, and that was certainly a real challenge because I think that one thing that we see is a common kind of statistic is that couples really focus on the children once the children are born, and sometimes it's to the exclusion of their own relationship, right? They really focus in on how are we supporting, how are we loving our children, and then sometimes they forget that it's really their bond of love that brought forth this new life that's their children. And so if they're not nourishing their bond, they're not able to then fully give themselves to their children as well, mm-hmm. which sometimes you don't think of that, but the reality is you've got to continue to nourish that relationship mm-hmm. so that you can give yourself more fully.
It has to be loving enough to support the children, but also if you are so focused only on the kids, then when they're grown up and gone, what's left of the relationship itself, that becomes a problem then, doesn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's you know, one of the times that you find there's difficulties with divorce and things like that, because for so long that bond has been neglected. And so that's definitely a challenge. And part of the reason why we need to, you know, there was a study out from the University of Virginia at their Center for Family Studies. I think Brad Wilcox was in charge of it, but that they came up with that you need that date nights are good for couples, which seems like kind of a of course, so spending time together is a good thing for couples, but the reality is there's got to be ways of continuing growing that relationship, but then from the church's perspective to really grow that relationship at the heart of the church.
Mm-hmm. And so you've been going around, you've had a couple of town hall meetings. Do you have some more scheduled that people could attend if they'd like to be a part of that?
We do. We've got two coming up. There's one on April the 26th and another on April the 28th. The one on the 26th is at St. Mark in Falston, and then the 28th will be at Immaculate Conception in Towson. So two of those coming up, and we'd love to have some people out to share their thoughts on marriage and family life, and talk to us, particularly from the diocese, just how can we better support the parishes in kind of growing their marriage and family life programs.
And what time are those events?
Those are going to be both from 7 to 9 p.m.
Okay, and people can get more information on that and the address and everything at archbalt.org?
Yep, they have that on archbalt.org, as well as I think the Catholic Review has something as well on their page.
Great. So Pope Francis spent a lot of time in this document affirming families, affirming married couples themselves, and affirming their children. It's pretty clear, I think, from that he understands the struggles of family around the world these days. What does this mean for you as a director of family life in the Archdiocese to know that kind of the Pope's got your back, that the Pope understands what you're going to be going through as you help families grow better and stronger and holier?
Yeah, it's very apparent that the Pope is supremely in touch. I mean, he's got the famous line about the scent of the sheep. And I mean, truly, he is a shepherd that has the scent of the sheep. And really, I think it's important, as the Pope points out, that we do look to kind of the local church and say, what are the needs of our local church? So saying here in the Archdiocese of Baltimore, everywhere from here in the city to out in Western Maryland to on the east side of the Archdiocese, and what are the needs? What are the needs of our local church, and how are we trying to meet those needs? And I think Pope Francis really hits on that point well for us.
Mm-hmm. The Pope has been talking, a lot of the media coverage on this document has been about whether or not Catholics who are divorced and remarried civilly without an annulment can receive communion. And it sounds like the Pope is even getting tired of answering that question. How do you get people back on track where you focus on the rest of that document? And that's an important part of the document, but a small part of it. How do you get them to focus back on everything else the Pope had to say that's about love and marriage and being good to each other?
I think that so often, and that's the way it always is with kind of the media presentation of what the Pope might say, it kind of will focus on the negative sometimes. But we're really called to just share the beauty of lived marriages and share the graces that flow from the beauty of the sacrament of marriage. And so we really need to just kind of draw people's attention back to that and really focus on that for them.
Tell me a little bit about your own family. Obviously, you're a family man yourself, and you're running an office of marriage and family life. What's your family experience like? How'd you grow up, and where are you now?
Certainly. So grew up actually in the Archdiocese of Galveston, Houston, and lived there for a number of years. Also lived in the D.C. area and studied at the John Paul II Institute for Studies on Marriage and Family Life, which is actually where I met my wife. We were both studying marriage and family life. And
sounds like a good solid foundation.
Yeah, it was a good. So we are married and have two children and one on the way due in July. So
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
That's great. As you look at this now, then, and everything that we've been talking about and what you're working on, you joined the Office of Marriage and Family Life in January. The Pope comes out with a major document in April to help you with your job. What do you see as the most hopeful things for families and marriages as you move forward?
I think that there's a lot of things, kind of hopeful signs of marriage and family life. I think that I think that so often, just as with the document, you could focus on kind of the controversy or these sorts of things. But we have to really look at just these signs of life, these signs of joy that we see within local local marriage and family life. So I think that there's definitely a lot of hope, in the midst of kind of the challenges that we see all around us with regards to marriage and family life.
Yeah, I always like to remind people that Jesus's first miracle was to turn water into wine for celebration at a wedding party that probably in that culture lasted 3 days. So Jesus loved to celebrate weddings, and we should learn to do that too.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, no, I think you're right on point. I mean, that's the first sign in the Gospel of John is at a wedding feast, and we see the marriage throughout Scripture, Scripture.
That's a great way for us to make sure that we stay focused on that part that the church calls the domestic church, of people at home bringing each other up around the kitchen table, nurturing the faith.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's it's funny you say that, because that's precisely where Pope Francis starts his document, right? Is really around the family table.
Well, thanks so much for being with us today, Edward. This is Edward Herrera, Director of the Office of Marriage and Family Life for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. I'm Christopher Gunty with the Catholic Review, and this is Catholic Baltimore. Thanks for listening.
On Monday, April 25th at 7 p.m. at the Basilica of the Assumption in downtown Baltimore, people of all faiths will gather on the one-year anniversary of the unrest in Baltimore to pray for peace and healing. The Interfaith Prayer Service is being hosted by a large group of faith leaders who are committed to bringing peace to the citizens and communities of Baltimore. Archbishop William Laurie is among those organizing the prayer service. Parking is available at the adjacent parking garage on Franklin and Cathedral Streets. The service will feature scriptural readings and brief reflections, as well as musicians and choirs from various faiths. All are welcome to this prayerful event as we seek to bring peace and healing to the city of Baltimore, as we reflect on the events of last year and dedicate ourselves to moving Baltimore forward, from hope to wholeness. For more information, visit archbalt.org. That's archbalt.org.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Baltimore. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May God bless us and keep us always in his love.